Hello, everybody. And I'd just like to say before we begin, thank you very much, Dr. Bradley Nelson. He's a New York Times bestselling author for of the Emotional Code and the Body Code for sponsoring today's show. We're grateful for his support in helping us bring powerful conversation to listeners everywhere. Now, welcome back to the Advisor. And I am so excited today because we have a special guest. Her name is Justine. Thank you so much, Justine, for coming on the show. I am so excited to have you on the show because, you're talking about topics that are really, really passionate to my heart. And, nutrition is one of them. And I'm really big on nutrition and eating healthy and, what it does to our body when we don't eat healthy. And so I'm really excited to have you on the show. Now, can you tell everybody, a little about yourself and what you do? Because I know a lot of people are really interested in what you have to say.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here. My name is Justine Bassani. I am a bartender at night, but I actually don't drink. And during the day, I work on my side business, which is called All Glowed Up. I'm the author of Eating Lessons, which has everything that you ever needed to know about what you put into your body and how to make emotional changes towards a healthier you.
I love that. I love that. Now, you talk about emotional eating. Like, in plain terms, how is it different from hunger?
Well, our olfactory system, our sense of smell, when we're children, that's connected to our memories. When we're children and we're taught to eat, and we start associating the smells of foods that we get at our birthday party, our birthday cake, our pizza parties, things that we're having a good time with, that we're feeling loved and fulfilled. We associate those with a good emotion, and a lot of those foods have chemicals in them, like milk has casein, which is a dopamine trigger, that actually mimic a happier feeling in our bodies. And so, unless you really revisit whether or not you're eating for nutrition's sake, it's really easy to fall back into eating for flavor and for your emotions, And so, you shouldn't eat your feelings is my motto. I have a chapter in here. It's called Recovering Foodie, and I talk about that. And just that alone, sort of thinking about your favorite foods and the foods that you reach for when you're sad or when you're happy, or whether you celebrate with drinks, or how you what you're eating when you're feeling. Either way of the spectrum can really you can really start seeing your own patterns, and my book sort of tries to flip that so that you can start understanding what foods give you so that you can start introducing them to your body, and they will change what you end up craving because your body is designed to mine for nutrients, and if you're not giving them the nutrients, your body's going to just crave the calories, and your psychology is going to want the best tasting ones because you're not wired to think for nutrition unless you revisit that as an adult.
Right. Oh, that's so true. Now, how does diet culture feed into the cycle of shame and cravings?
Well, there's so much mixed information about what is trending. From the paleo diet to low carb, keto, all of the diets that I see trend for long terms are all calorie restrictive diets at the end. And so a lot of people don't know what to do once that calorie reduction, which is going to cause, no matter what you eat, is going to cause you to lose weight because you're burning more than you're eating, whether that be in the form of all protein or vegetables, you're going to see the numbers drop. But a lot of people fall flat once they've lost some weight because either the weight stops falling off or their energy is lowered, or a number of things. And the reason why that happens is because if you're taking out all these food groups and you're cutting your calories that drastically, and then you start, say, a gym program, or you start, running a 5K, and you start pushing your body in starvation to do these bouts of activity, you're going to burn your muscle, which is going to reduce how many calories you can burn in a day because you're not supporting this muscle mass. And then your muscle structure gets smaller, your skin gets looser, your fat falls differently. And the image, even though you've lost weight, you don't look how you want to look and you don't feel like you want to feel. And
Yes.
so, yeah, so it's really, you really have to understand the reasons why, the same way you put gas in your car, why you're putting the food in your mouth. And it really just starts there. It's simple. It's so simple that it's hard to believe.
Right. Oh, that's so true. Now, when someone says, I'll never be like my parents, why do old patterns still show up around food?
Well, as I said, when we're kids, our survival instinct is taught to us by our parents.
Yeah.
It just follows that, and it's like the generational cycle of we eat at this time, this is what we eat. I know I'm guilty of it. But I don't have to eat the food that triggers my memories. I can think about the experience, and it's separating that. I went off track with your question.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, like, we always say, like, we're not going to be like our parents, but yet
Yeah.
so many similar things like our parents,
My mom is actually a different kind of parent, though, because she really was the one to show me that what the difference was. My first memories at the grocery store were at the health food store, and I grew up on organic baby food grown in my backyard. My mom went vegetarian at 7, so we had all sorts of vegetarian nutrition information in the house. We had nutritional yeast, rice milk, no dairy. It like I was the weirdo growing up, so I was always like, ugh, I hope nobody knows, that when I would go to my friend's house, I was like, what is this food that you people have here? Because I've never seen it. Like, we didn't have mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese and stuff. So I'm grateful to have grown up like my mother. Other people who I guess are eating heavy processed meats and cold cuts and mayo-based everything, and that's their childhood. It's just as simple these days because everything has a dupe. Like 20 years ago, you couldn't go into the store and buy 5 different vegan mayos with avocado oil. So
I know.
like you can recreate, and I talk a lot about recreating what you're craving into something that is giving you those flavors, but it packs your macro and micronutrient content into it. So you're actually nourishing your body, and then you watch how your cravings change.
Yeah, I love that because I feel like so many people we grew up in that age where parents were buying like ding dongs and they were buying so many things that Twinkies and this and that and we didn't have as many junk foods as we have now, but we still had quite a bit. And Coca-Cola was really popular back then too. And these are things where if you put a penny in Coca-Cola, you'll come back an hour later and it's disintegrated from all the chemicals in it. So it tells you if it can disintegrate a penny, can you imagine what it does in your stomach?
Yeah.
So, a lot of people grew up like that, unfortunately. And you were lucky enough to have a mom like that. I
I
would
know.
You're very lucky. Yeah. When I was thinking while you were talking, I was thinking about when you mentioned all the different diets. There's so many different diets out there and so many people who promise you to, lose weight and, do this and you'll be, 40 pounds lighter, in a month and all these miracle diets and stuff like that, and it could be very confusing and it's very deceiving and it's very unhealthy for people. Like, what do you have to say to those people so they understand the severity of these diets and why they don't work and why they're not really healthy to do for your body?
I think that fasting is probably the number one most detrimental way that you can try to lose weight. So many people think that they can suffer through it because it yields results and they have misinformation on the positive benefits of it, which I cover in the book, but basically you have to bring your body to autophagy, which is like dying, in order to force it into creating, the whatever the splash of the good chemicals, that regenerative chemicals that people are chasing. You have to go 72 hours without a bite of food. How are you going to work your body, your job, if you have no sugar in your brain or your muscles, which is what they need to do stuff.
Right.
And it breaks my heart to that people think that there's something detrimentally wrong with them if they're doing these things and they're not getting the results. So I just think that you can really end up thinking that your body type was not made to be fit, that genetically you have an impairment that you've inherited, but really you've just inherited really bad habits that, can be corrected. And no shame on changing your habits, because the people who taught you loved you and cared about you and wanted to make you happy. And it's
Yeah.
not about their adequacy of raising you, because they were given the misinformation. And so using this as an opportunity to teach, the people who raised you, using the things, that tools that have made you feel better instead of feeling sick. And okay, you lost a couple pounds, but how do you feel? I bring my grandparents all sorts of things. My grandparents take chlorophyll every day at 90, and they're climbing ladders in the garden. They still have 200 tomato plants at 90, and they're evidence to me that a healthy diet keeps you, ticking longer, because I don't know anybody else's grandparents who you have to chase around the garden. But as long as you keep it in perspective, and I think it all goes back to the shadow work, that's why I have the shadow work journals to go with it, because you're gonna come, when you're making changes, you're gonna come through emotions, whether it be about feeling deprivation, feeling like you can't go out with your friends because you won't be able to control whether you're eating or drinking and you want to stick to something, so isolating yourself. There's a lot of times when the feelings can come up and blame can be placed, and oh, if it was different when I was little, or if I didn't read this magazine that told me I should, eat celery sticks all day, maybe I would be different. But your body regenerates new cells every 7 years, and you have a chance right now to be whoever you want to be. And you can make incredible changes to your body within 6 to 8 weeks
Yeah.
when you just decide to start treating it with the respect it deserves.
100%. 100%. Now, what was the biggest surprise in the feedback you received from Eating Lessons from the readers?
The readers, a lot of women have come to me, women. Not only women, but women specifically who, are often cooking for the family and are struggling with how they're going to cook for the family and cook for themselves. They love the book because they say that it changes their perspective on everything that they thought that they knew. And that right there was my goal. Whether or not you take, all of the pieces of advice, I know that there's enough in there to change your perspective enough to allow yourself to do something different, because it's very it's that saying, if you do something over and over again and you get the same result, then it's you. That
Yeah.
time it's you. If you make some changes that are really good for yourself, there's nothing that can go wrong. You
Yes.
can't. If your intention with yourself is pure, and every choice you're making to the best of your ability, and of course you're gonna slip up, especially when you're trying something new, but
Yeah.
that's, why, that's another reason why I'm developing the app, so that you can just jump on your phone and say, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm craving, what do I do, what do I eat,
Yeah.
and I'm creating that availability, because you need to support. I always say, if you want to change, if you have an instinct, that a desire to change, then you're already changed. You've already made the step. All you have to do is keep making that decision every day. Keep making that decision every day. It doesn't stop. You don't stop making it. You're in maintenance. You stay to the ritual.
Yeah. I love that. Now, walk us through your process. How did you turn your personal insight into a book?
After the so during COVID, after I had gotten my certification for nutrition and personal training, we had a lot of time at while I was bartending for the customers to ask me, every question that they'd ever wondered about their diet, what they're eating, what they should be eating. People love to tell me, what their goals are, and they genuinely say, I'm trying this. And it's working, but you can tell that they're at a place where they're eating the complete opposite of what they're telling me they're doing the rest of the week. And so there's a disconnect, which shows me that there's a need. There's a gap in the plan's not working. If you're here at my bar, then
Yeah.
your plan's not working.
Uh-huh.
But wow, I just spaced out a little bit on the on how
No,
we're
you were talking about how you return your personal insight into a book
Oh,
and your
right. So many customers would ask me the same question, about dairy. Why they say I could quit everything except cheese. I can't quit cheese. So I would make a little note. This 5 times this week I've been asked about cheese. I've had to explain myself about what cheese does in your body, the cow hormones, the casein, why the casein is there so that the baby cow drinks stays addicted to the mother's milk and lives.
Yeah.
When it's in your brain, it's tricking you. So that is why, and so I was like, okay, I would just in my notes in my phone write out until I would, started putting that into the computer. So I would have my topic and I come home and I get home from the bar and I just start writing until I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And that worked for me for a while until I was staying up till so late at night that I decided that I would research everything I needed the night before, wake up and write 1,000 words before I would go to the gym. And everybody knows that the gym is my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
Right when I get done with my morning ritual, get to the gym. So holding that over my own head, like every minute that you're later, you can't go. I'm very strict with myself, and I would get a minimum of 5,000 words written a week. And then it's just a numbers game. I know I'm going to edit. I know I'm going to throw some stuff out, but I ended up crossing over 100,000 words after my edits. And
Wow.
it took 4 years to write the book, but by the time from when I started to when it was actually published and
Yeah.
ready to go, but it was that same, it's just that it was really important to me to stay committed to getting this information out because I would almost lose my voice talking and talking about these things. And for the sake of my voice and for the sake of getting this information out, they
Yeah.
basically told me what they needed to know.
Right.
So, and then I just made each chapter really palatable and informative so that it doesn't feel like you're just reading science, so that you have a storyteller, so that you're starting with a history of something and to what it's evolved with in our modern days today.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. Now, what are three practical steps someone can use right now to interrupt an emotional eating binge?
Definitely, I say people are scared of fruits because of the sugar, but I
Yeah.
would say if you're about to fall down an ice cream, emotional eating or something like that, go for smoothies. Go for the Ninja's ice cream maker. You need to feed your craving. If you fall your, on chocolate and you eat too much chocolate, get yourself the best date sweetened chocolate and have time for it every day,
Yeah.
ceremonially. Introduce everything that is a trigger for you into your life as a daily habit or ritual where you're enjoying the purest form of it that you can find. That's number one. Number two, I think if you're a super busy person and you're overwhelmed by making diet changes, trying Factor 75, Daily Harvest,
Yeah.
Thistle, one of the delivery companies that you're not only going to save 50% usually with their trial offer, so you're getting a little budget, But you are saving all that time this week so that you can focus on your self-care, whatever else you need to do, and your meals are done. You can cancel it after that. Try 10 of them, and you have 10 months of and that way the food's there, the food's coming. You have no choice but to eat it. Those are my top two.
I love that. I love that. Now you mentioned turning insights into something digital and practical. What are you building and who is it for? So tell me a little about the app.
So the app is called Cravewell. I can actually say that now that it's trademarked. And I started because I wanted to create accessibility from a person's emotional craving into getting the food. So the way the main function of the app works is that you can type in whatever you're craving, and instead of, just telling you what you should eat instead, the app has a calculator which finds the top three nutrients in the food and then gives you three options where it has a similar nutrient profile of options you can have. And then I've taken it a step further to identify local delivery so that you can just, if you're busy, order something from one of the restaurants that has compatible, healthier options and have it delivered. So that was the main function, is just because I know that if I'm craving raisins, that I need iron, and if I want lentils, that I want iron. I've trained myself because anytime I crave something, I look up what is the highest nutrient in this. And then I look at what else I've been craving and see if they share that similar nutrient. I think it's a fun game to play because it helps me understand which ones are emotional cravings and which ones are, I'm really hungry for this. This feels satisfying when I eat it. So that satisfying of eating a vitamin that you've been deaf, when people say I'm vegan. But when people say, I sometimes you just need a steak, and it's like, no, your body thinks that that's the only place it can get iron because you haven't eaten any beets, any lentils, any raisins, any walnuts, any algae, So if you eat those things and you have your body satiated, you won't have a craving for those things. So starting with getting those nutrients in, some of your cravings should subside naturally because you're actually full for the first time in your life.
I love that. Now, for listeners juggling a full-time job and entrepreneurship, how did you balance the hustle while doing this deep emotional work?
I mean, I'm still balancing the hustle, and I think it's really easy to get overwhelmed for any small business owner. And even if you don't own a small business, if you're working full time and have kids, or or you're working two jobs, or you're going to school and working, if there's two things pulling you in different directions, that's when self-care is the most important. That's when you need to really fill yourself back up on a daily basis. And that's why the shadow work journals have a space for, what have you done today to fill yourself back up? And it takes approximately 30 repetitions of something in order to create a habit. And so starting just acknowledging that you are worthy of the same time you're giving your jobs is gonna give you a little more space to be better at them, and it's easier said than done. But I definitely take days where I'm like, I cannot produce anything. And then, and that, and then, even if I just allow myself that time, I can fill in my notepad. I'll get ideas. I'll that I can get back to later. But I think it's a good thing to, on the other hand, I think it's a good thing to not confuse that with going clubbing with your friends at night and taking that space to do any activity that's going to take time from your day tomorrow, that's going to take recovery time for your day tomorrow, because then you're setting yourself back. So make sure that it's actually self-care that you're taking your breaks for, not something that's going to sabotage you, because that's another thing that we do, is we sabotage ourselves. It can feel really lonely starting a healthy plan when all of your friends are partying. But Maybe it's either time to make new friends, or if they're your great friends, they're going to support you and they're going to be by your side and they're going to bring a smoothie to the club and say you're not drinking. So you just make it known to yourself that you are going to do as much as you can in this world, but you can't do it if you don't put your oxygen mask on first.
100%. So true. And I feel like sometimes people feel guilty for taking care of themselves before they take, they think that they have to take care of everyone around them, and they forget that the most important person all the time. And I always tell people, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, but it's not, you shouldn't be shameful. You shouldn't feel guilty. You need to love yourself and care for yourself before you care for others, because how can you care for others if you don't care for yourselves first?
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely at a low point in my life did try to care for others more than I cared for myself, and I thought that that would somehow alleviate
Yeah.
some of the inner turmoil, because at least you're it's like the catalyst when you're taking care of other people and you're not. And so what does self-care mean? That means making sure your toenails are clipped, making sure that your hair is washed, that you're not skipping steps on yourself, that you're not wearing, and everybody should be comfortable, but that you're taking, it's not even pride in your appearance. It's pride in the way you feel in your skin. And
Yeah.
sometimes when you're depressed, those really simple things like brushing your teeth, washing your hair, flossing, doing skincare, a nice moisturizer, those simple things, if you're skipping them, you might not have room to step up into a higher level of self-care. So
Yeah.
just try to get out of bed, get in the shower, and once you get a little taller, like Maslow's theory of hierarchy, then you can maybe find more space for your habits. But everybody needs to stop beating themselves up so much because there's nothing wrong with you. It's just what you've been taught.
Exactly. Now, what's one mindset shift that helped you move from dieting mentally to long-term well-being?
Dieting was really detrimental for me. Trying, even being, I would say, having an ED at one point when I was in, the Screen Actors Guild, and I was the stand-in and body double for some very big actresses. The expectations of me to fit in their clothes, when I have a very naturally muscular body, I didn't know to feed my muscles. I thought I needed to shrink and get rid of my muscles and become the tiniest thing there was. And my body never looked like how people in the magazines. I was strong where I was naturally strong, but I wasn't balanced. My moods were all over the place. My energy was low, and everybody was doing it. The actresses, I was with them on set all day. I saw what they were eating. It was barely anything. And so that's when I thought there's something wrong with me. It's just who I am. It's just my body. I'll always have to just struggle to look good in a dress or whatever. Really just like really go under 1,000 calories a day, which is terrible for you, so don't try that. It was when I really made the commitment to stop drinking. I wanted to be so sure that I didn't give my body any variables so that I could see how my brain worked again without it. My intelligence got stronger. My memory got stronger. My scent, my reflexes. When I stopped numbing myself with alcohol and just eating emotionally to boost my mood because I was always depressed, largely due to the alcohol, I just finally saw the results. I had at my lowest, right before I quit drinking, put on 30 pounds. And I hadn't been going to the gym for probably a solid few years. And when I quit drinking, I immediately got the personal trainer. This was before I was a personal trainer. And within 3 months, I had six pack abs. And all I did was make sure that I ate before I was hungry, which was a hard thing for me coming from, a starvation mentality, and wait as long as you can between meals, which is a lot of people want to do because they want to cut out the amount of hours in a day that they're putting food in their mouths. Instead, I switched it to how can I use six times a day to eat six things that will be really delicious that I know I'm not going to overeat because I'm eating in another 2 hours that I already figured out what I, and so making it like not a sabotage thing, like not like I have to go hide and eat these 12 bagels because I'm so hungry, and that's the only thing that feels like it, your brain goes crazy. Your brain wants you to survive, and when you start going without food, it's gonna crave anything that if you were not hungry, you'd be like, not in my. I definitely ate at one point ate 12 bagels when I was. Flopping between movie sets. One night I was just got so hungry, and it and looking back on it, it was because I had waited all day. So really, just you don't. And that's the thing. It's like people call it fasting. It's a nice way to say that you have an eating disorder that you don't know how to address because you don't know how to eat properly. And
That's it.
everything seems like you shouldn't have this, you shouldn't have this. And so when you crash hard.
It's so true. When you crash, you definitely crash hard for sure. Definitely. Now,
Yeah.
I can friends and partners best support someone who's struggling with emotional eating?
I mean, I would say a lot of those people are either eating or aiding to the problem, or the person is eating secretly often. The only I mean, to help, you can't help somebody make the changes for themselves. But if you are hearing this, getting them the information, getting them a book like this, putting them on the podcast, letting them know that they're not alone. There's if you're really good friends and you're close with someone, there's probably other issues going on. There could be abuse, abandonment, fear, general fear of change. There could be so many things going on. So if they're not already getting help for that, if you are that close to them, maybe they need a professional psychological approach. But, just also, get them a smoothie. Join the challenge with them. Suggest, you do something together. And that way you can hold their hand through it. Everybody just wants to be loved, at the base of everything. And just learning different ways to experience life, to set up things in your house, hobbies that you want to do. If you're a person that like has a physical attachment to the munching or the chips or the grabbing in the bag, replace that with popcorn and grapes. That's a good place to do, a calorie swap where you can say, my ritual is I like to snack while I watch TV. That's what I like to do at the end of the day. Okay, well then prepare for that. Let's get 500 calories worth of stuff that's going to be insurmountable because it's all grapes and popcorn or whatever. But there's just you can only you can only you just your awareness of it is gonna help it. And just talking about it, talking about that we all struggle with these things and nobody's perfect. Sometimes somebody sees someone and they're like, I don't want to take advice from that person because they look like they've never experienced what I've experienced. But sometimes, like myself, I don't have any pictures of me on online of when I was at my worst. I mean, there probably are some, but I don't post of my before and after like a lot of people do, because I don't feel like it was a before and after. I feel like it was a blip on my timeline that is not that serious. It created the beautiful catalyst I needed, but I don't have to honor that. I have to honor who I am in the moment. And that is really all you have to do, is take it day by day and feed yourself emotionally and through your mouth the best you can every day. Like, you're nurturing yourself.
Yes, that's so true. Now, are there some common misconceptions about healthy eating that actually keep people stuck?
Yeah. Back to the fruits. Thinking that pe people think that they can't eat fruit for some reason, like on the daily. I mean, it's one of the best things for you. It's full of fiber, it's slow digesting. You're not going to get the crashes. And people forget that sugar has been so demonized, and yes, white sugar should be, because of what it does in your body. But
Yeah.
people, I think it's a really easier way to say that if you can go pick it off a tree, or if it grows out of the ground, you can eat it. Like, you should be only restricting yourself from food that comes out of packages in the middle aisles of the grocery store.
Right.
And I think a lot of people set themselves back because I think they can really manage their cravings on really naturally. But your brain is like, okay, gummy bears that taste like fruit. I'm gonna end up going to the gas station in the middle of the night because I didn't allow myself to eat the fruit that my body's trying to signal to me that I need, that
Yeah.
has the vitamins and the phytonutrients. So, just understanding that
Yeah.
you have to take care of your body like you would take care of your car, and put the right thing in the engine, and put the right thing in the oil tank, and put the right thing in the fluids.
Yeah.
See, taking the emotions out of eating and just creating a business contract with, like, I need to eat a rainbow of colors today and try to get as much as I can that isn't in a package.
Right.
Do that. Make it that simple, and you'll see changes.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's so true. Now, can you share with the readers a story when you were shifting from one small habit that led to one big breakthrough?
It was definitely the day that I called my bartender friend. Again, I was doing a lot of mixology competitions. I was really starting to get my name out there, and there was a group of bartenders that we would all stay up late, we'd all go out together, and it was during the time when I was like, something just has to change in my life. And I texted him and I was like, what do? What is it? Like, I wake up and then I go back to work at night. What are you doing all day as a bartender? He said, I'm
Right.
I go to I see he said I go to the gym. And I was like, okay, what gym? And I just drove right there, and I was like, okay, so this is my gym now. This is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be like the cool kids, And I was terrified of how I was looking, because I hadn't stepped foot in the gym, and we all have that. But what I did was, I'm a little bit of a masochist, I guess. I was like, you're going every day. I started feeling great when I was going, but I wouldn't wear like a big heavy t-shirt over my sports bra and leggings. I don't even know how to say this without feeling weird. I wanted to earn the body by working hard, and I didn't want to hide it from myself. If I looked in the mirror and I wasn't happy, I didn't want to mask that from myself. I wanted to see myself working harder, and then a month later, looking in that same mirror and seeing the difference in how my shape was. So, using your anger and your frustration and everything, and putting that energy into your lifting, that helped shift how I felt for the whole rest of the day. And that was how I knew that the feelings that I the whatever I was trying to drink a drink to achieve in a feeling state was a thousand times better my feeling state when I had all of those good feeling chemicals going, when I had my blood running through my veins and my muscles and using and really getting into my breathing and how you're breathing while you're working out, how that strength really transcends to how strong you feel when you walk out. So that was the biggest shift. It's just joining that gym. So, and people join the gym and they don't go, you need to show up and you need to promise yourself that you're going to show up, even if you just sit on the floor for an hour. You know, and stick to that. As long as you're in the room, go read a book. You need to start going. Because the worst thing you can do is not go. Because once you're there, you'll end up doing stuff and you know it.
No, that's so true. That is so true. Now, what tools or practices do you recommend between sessions or self-work to keep the progress steady?
I mean, writing down how you feel every day, I think helps you. You know, a month or 2 months into it, writing down foods that you liked and the moods that you were in can sort of and the dreams you want for the next week can help keep your own momentum because you have a visual track. You have visual evidence that you tried this, you made this, you put in this effort. And it starts becoming very valuable a few months in when you're making those changes and you want to say, hey, when did I start doing that? And then you can look back at your own personal journey because you will forget. You think you're going to remember, but you'll forget.
Yeah, it's true. Now, if listeners want to learn more or work with you, what's the best next step?
I'm very active on social media, Instagram and YouTube channels, both under my name, Justine Bassani. I'm always just a message away. If you're in the New Canaan, Connecticut area, feel free to come by the bar, Tequila Mockingbird, where I work. I have a website. It's called We All Glowed Up, and I have merch I've designed, self-care merch, hoodies, joggers. There's a way to connect with me there through the app. There's going to be a way to connect with me through the app also. But I'm, just a normal person, so I am accessible. But I've tried to create this material to be self-sustaining. But I am, I'm always there. If something needs to be clarified, for you, maybe it needs to be clarified for others. So please don't hesitate to reach out.
I love that. I love that. Now, if you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on some important facts, what are some things you'd love the listeners to take away with them?
I just thought the basis of any change is A, your willingness, and B, your willingness to change, your willingness to love yourself, and embrace your potential. And that seems scary. So I just think that taking the steps that resonate with you, that feel good with you don't have to get everything all in one place, but you don't have to wait till Monday. You can start making these changes today. You can start with your next meal, with your next sip, even if it's just researching some things, researching some, if you're interested in that craving thing, if there's some foods that you really get stuck on, go look up what they're low in and try adding more foods to your regular days and see if that dwindles. I think that alone could help people. So don't feel like you have to bite the whole thing down. You don't have to become vegan and raw tomorrow. Just start assessing why you're doing what you're doing. And I think that's enough for a lot of people to start making some changes naturally.
I love that. I love that. Now, are there services that you provide or, besides what you just talked about the book?
I don't really have hourly services just because of I'm still working, at the bar and then trying to write. It's just hard for me to write the book, do the content, illustrate the books, and then make time.
Good job.
It's a lot of jobs. It's hard for me to be in one place at one time, but that's why I'm hoping the app can at least book like 15 minutes at a time in a real time manner so that I can connect with my schedule and be available when I can. We sell 100,000 books. I can quit my job and be available to everybody. So well, again, I'm only one person, but I am here, I'm available. This is, my full-time job, but and my bar job is, just a place where I go to make money to pay these bills. But
Now,
wellness is my passion.
when do you think the app will be available? Do they have like an idea when they anticipate it to
It's
be up?
me. Everything is me. Everything is me. I am behind the wheel. I actually used a program to write the code. Two bots and my own intelligence. It's taken me about 4 months. I am literally just doing bug fixes right now. And it's right now I'm having the few trusted people make sure they can log in, log out, that it's tracking. All the behind the scenes stuff is really, the hardest part. I'm hoping to get it out maybe a month by the end of the year, 100% by the end of the year, hopefully within the month.
Love it. I love it. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. Well,
Thank you.
this has been amazing, Justine. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I thank you for sharing your insights. We have, like I mentioned, so many people in our audience that talk about nutrition, and they're so interested in food addiction and changing their eating habits and how to do it and the right way to do it. Because in our society, there is so much false information and misleading and misguided information. And I'm so glad that someone like you came on the show today to really explain to people what nutrition is, how the right way to do it is, and the best way, how you can make simple tweaks in your lifestyle to get to the point where it really makes a huge impact on your overall health and wellness. So I thank you so much, Justine, for being on the show today, and I wish you the best luck with your book, and I hope you'll come back and we can talk some more.
That would be awesome. I really enjoyed being here and I'm really excited. I'm grateful to be shown to your audience. Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here. You're an awesome person and I can't wait to come back.
Thank you so much. Well, you have a great day, and thank you for being you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye bye.